so much. It's a good opportunity to be able to be in front of other Christians and with other Christians, people who come with a like mind. So I'm happy to be here again today. I thank you again on your leadership, Brother Prowl and the elders and Brother Jones for allowing me to stand before you and proclaim the word of God. So I thank you for that. We're not gonna tarry long. We're going to get right into the text if you don't mind. If you would go take your Bibles to the book of Exodus, the 32nd chapter. And I'm going to show y'all that I'm not going to be long. I'm going to come on down now. How about that? And thank the brother who read the book of Exodus, this chapter 4. We're going to go from verse 1 on into about verse 14. But we only read into here today verses 1 through 4. But let me read to you, if my phone will do what it's supposed to do, I can read it. Let me read to you what the Bible says. It says, "Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron, and they said to him, 'Come make us gods, that we should go before us. For as for this Moses, or that Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him.' Mm-hmm. And Aaron said to them, 'Break off the golden earrings which are in your ears of your wives, your son, and your daughters, and bring them to me.' So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and they brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molten calf. Then they said, 'This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.' So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, 'Tomorrow is a feast of the Lord.' Then they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings, and brought peace and offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, 'Go get down,' or 'go down there, 'for your people who you have brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molten calf and worship it and sacrifice to it, and said, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." And the Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, or leave me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them. And I will make of you a great nation." Then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, "Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, 'He brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth?' Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, 'I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven.' And all this land that I have spoken, I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever." So the Lord relented from harm which he said he would do to his people. From this passage, Exodus 32, verses 1 through 14, I want to give you the title, "That's What I Want, That's What I Need." That's what I want, that's what I need. If you look at the beginning of the scripture, it says, "Now the people saw that Moses." Now, I want you to understand that it's not saying they saw that Moses. It's saying they saw that Moses. So with the intention of you putting the word "that" in front of Moses is intended to be disrespectful. They're not, because see, the word is not needed. They could have said, "Now the people saw Moses," right? Y'all follow me? But when they say they saw that Moses, they're really belittling the work that Moses has already done by bringing them out of Egypt. They're saying, "That man called Moses, that guy," right? delayed coming down from the mountain, and the people gathered to Aaron. So we know that Moses, this was not Moses' first trip to the mountain, right? But we also know that he must have stayed a little bit longer than he had stayed on previous trips because the people got impatient. And they went to Aaron, and they said, Aaron, build us a golden calf. Now, first there, for those people who are leaders, always remember, if you're going to leave your post, you better put somebody in your post that's going to do the job right. Because Aaron let God down, and he let Moses down because he didn't do what he was supposed to do. But we know that Aaron was a little frustrated with the request. And how do we know that Aaron was frustrated? Because the Bible says that Aaron said, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters. And if we study the original language and we study what break off, it literally means tear off. So Aaron is actually fussing at them when he tells them to bring the gold. He's pretty much saying, if you're so tired, if you are already ready to give up on God, rip the earrings out of your ears and bring them to me so that I can make a golden calf. Well, we notice it's interesting. Let me pause there. It's interesting that this people, that the people of Israel had so little patience because God had brought them through so much. As a matter of fact, if you look through Exodus earlier in the third chapter of Exodus, God sent Moses to go release the people, he actually told them, I want you to go get the people, but he told them, you won't leave empty-handed. Y'all ever study that? He said, you won't leave empty-handed. He says, go to your masters and ask them for their gold. Ask them for their jewelry. And then begin on your journey. So just think about this. These people who are followers of God have become impatient with God, and they are actually getting ready to build a golden calf from the jewelry that God allowed them to take from the people who kept them in captivity. Isn't that interesting? Because, you know, sometimes God blesses us with a number of different things, and as soon as we think God is not paying attention to us, we will take the very blessings that he gave us to defile him or to disrespect God. Now, God could have let them leave Egypt without any gold, but because of his power and because of what he wanted to show the people of Egypt, how powerful he was, he told them, don't you just leave. It would have been good just to leave slavery, right? Don't you think? If you just set me free, I would be fine with that. But God said, no, I'm not that kind of God. I want you to leave, and I want you to leave, and I want you to leave with your hands and your pockets full. I want you to leave with gold. And here we are, not long after, these same people who are getting ready to melt down the borrowed gold that God allowed them to have. Anyway, so it says that Aaron built this calf. And when Aaron built this calf, it says, then Aaron saw it. Now, when I first read that, I said, now, what does it mean, then Aaron saw it? And we're looking at verse 5, and it says, then Aaron saw it. What exactly was Aaron seeing? When you first read it, you think that Aaron is actually seeing, if you're not being careful, the calf in which he built. But that doesn't make sense. If he built the calf, then it's impossible that this is just now that he's seen the calf. So what is it that Aaron is actually seeing? Aaron is actually seeing the reaction of the people once they see the calf in which he built. And if you look through the text, you'll realize that when Aaron saw this, if you study it and get into the original, it says that actually Aaron was a little afraid. Aaron was afraid at the people's reaction. But he continued on his path, and he said, tomorrow will be the feast of the Lord. And then let me tell you how disrespectful these people were. The Bible says they woke up early the next day to begin to worship the golden calf. And the calf, the golden bulls, a male calf. And then you see God, you know, God is always watching, and he's always present. God said, Moses, get on out of here. Go get those wicked people that have already turned against me. And when you go down there, you go because I'm getting ready to destroy the whole nation. I'm getting ready to destroy all of these people. But this is where the scripture really gets good. The Bible said, Moses looked and said, Lord, Lord, why would you do this? Why would you destroy the people that you brought out of Egypt? Why don't you remember the promise that you gave to your people and said that you would bless them? Lord, why would you decide to do this now? And I think Moses, is really saying, Lord, we've been knowing these people were wicked. These people had never really done too much right. So, Lord, why would you bring them out right now so that the Egyptians can look and say, ha-ha, God brought them out just to take them to the mountains and to kill them. Lord, why would you do that? And as Moses began to plead with God, the Bible said that God stepped back, and he decided not to kill the people. Now, some of you are probably saying, now, I read that scripture 1 through 14, and Brother Mason gave me this old crazy title. That's what I want. That's what I need. What is it that I want? What is it that I need? I want the relationship that Moses had with God. That's what I want. That's what I need. I need a relationship in which God is willing to hear what I have to say. And when not only is he willing to hear what I have to say, he's willing to change his mind or to think differently based on the prayers that I've submitted. Could you imagine how Moses would have felt, how Moses felt when he realized that his relationship was so powerful with God that all he had to do was speak to God and ask him to do something different, and then God decided to change his mind? That's the kind of relationship I want. That's the kind of relationship I need. If we look and we say, well, Darwin, that's the kind of relationship you want. That's the kind of relationship I need. Well, how do you get that relationship? Well, the question is how did Moses get it? The first thing that Moses did in order to receive a relationship to God, like this with God, is that he was obedient. If we look through the scripture, we realize that Moses, you know, from the very beginning, when he first had his encounter with God and he told him to go get my people, Moses was a little bit nervous about that. We know that they also say that Moses didn't have good speech. He was a stuttering man. So imagine a man stuttering going in front of the king of what at that point in time was the most powerful kingdom in the world and telling him to let my people go. But Moses did it anyhow. You know the story about the parting of the Red Sea. Moses did exactly what God asked him to do. And I am convinced that the reason why Moses had this kind of influence on what God would decide to do eventually is because he was first obedient. So what are you saying, Darwin? I'm saying if you want this kind of relationship where God is willing to hear what you have to say, even when he has already begun to make his mind up about your current situation, then you probably ought to be obedient. We also know that Moses had to have a spirit of humility. How do you know that Moses had a spirit of humility? Because these crazy folks that he was in the wilderness with, remember, these were the same folks that were murmuring and were talking about him as soon as he, so Moses had to be able to listen to some people that he was helping and not get too puffed up, right? So Moses was obedient and Moses was also humble, right? And we also know that Moses, and this might be the most important, I'm not sure, we know that Moses met with God regularly. Yes, sir. If you're trying to get that relationship, that's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I need. That's three simple things that you have to do. You got to be obedient. Do what God said do. We talked about it this morning, talked about the Sermon on the Mount when God said, love your enemies. If you want to have a relationship where God is willing to hear your prayer, you got to do that stuff. Amen. You know, if you want to have a relationship with God, you have to be humble. Amen. And then I think the biggest thing is that you have to be in the presence of God on a regular basis. Amen. See, Moses often talked to God. We know on multiple occasions he went to the mountain just to be with God. And sometimes we want God to hear us, but we don't want to spend any time with him. So What's the message for today? That's what I want. That's what I need. I want a relationship with God that is so powerful that he'll hear my prayer. And not only would he hear my prayer, sometimes God will even make changes on his own decisions based on the things that I ask him. But I know if I want those things, I have to be someone who diligently seeks God. If you are here and you're not a Christian and you want that kind of relationship, if you want a relationship where God is regularly listening and knows the sound of your voice, then you need to be obedient. How do you be obedient? Hear the word of God. Believe that he is the Son who died and rose on the third day. Repent of your sins. Confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and then go down in baptism. If you are